Blog Talk Radio.
Chat messages, and everybody is wiggling and shaking to this song, and me too, guys. Every week I do it. Hi Ron.
Hello Bonnie.
I am so happy. This is astrology day, and I love it because one thing about me, I still am on the Idiot's Guide to Astrology. I think I'll be there for the next 20 years. But I learned so much from you, Ron, that every Wednesday I get so excited to just learn a little piece more. Are you there?
Wonderful. And hello, everybody.
I just want to tell everyone, that was a little clip, but I just do want to tell everybody, Ron and I share the same birthday. We are 7/14, girls and guys. That means Monday is Ron and I's birthday. So you all know what that means. I got a song in the air, Ron, for you. So I'm going to sing, hold your ears, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Ron, happy birthday to you. So please.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. Now, if you think I'm going to sing back, off the air with such a horrible voice, so please extend it back to you, but change the name to Bonnie.
Oh, that's so sweet, and I love you, Ron. We're meeting for lunch tomorrow at a really cool place, and we're going to be celebrating our birthday, so I'm really excited. But thank you, guys. Everybody in chat is saying happy birthday, Ron, to you, and don't hold your happy birthdays for me on Monday, because even though I'm going to be on vacation, I'm rocking an hour on my birthday to be with all of you. So let me start with today is Astrology Day. We have Ron Cole. He's on from 1 to 2. And then we have the fabulous Kelly Coulter. She is actually going to read my birthday card. So I'll be her first one out of the gate, and then she can answer and talk to all of you. So you'll get to hear my year up. But today we have a fabulous show for you. I'm so excited, Ron, because this is the first time on air that we have done a comparable chart with a husband and wife. And we did the wife, Janie, and we did Matt, and now we are doing their compatibility chart. And I'm so excited because I can't wait to rock this chart, and I know they are too. But before we do that, I want to tell everybody about Ron Cole. He is a famous astrologist. He is a worldwide, nationwide, and every blink wide you can see through astrologist. I was going to say through hot, cold, warm, and everything. He's sun, rain, shine, moon, planets Jupiter through Saturn. Ah! But he rocks them all, and he does do readings. They're about 2 to 3 hours. He is so fabulous and meticulous. Please, to get a hold of Ron, and I'll let him tell you in a minute, but you want to go to Living Astro, LivingAstro, at AOL.com. He is fabulous. His readings are wonderful. In fact, I'm supposed to be getting my progressive reading, Ron. So hopefully we can schedule that when I see you tomorrow. And everyone, he rocks this world, earth, and planet. Please, if you want a reading, this is the best reading, astro reading you could ever want. He does a lot of famous people. He does doctors, lawyers, does everything for everybody. So just send him a little message. He is also on Facebook at Ron Cole. And just you can send him a message or friend him. And I am also on Facebook, Bonnie Mosener Albers, friend me. But I ask a big favor of everyone, and I hope everybody can do this. If you go to Blog Talk, just like us on Blog Talk, and they will send you the reminders of our shows. And that way you can keep up with what shows we have and what we're doing. So, Ron, on this beautiful July 9th, what do we have going on here?
Well, hello again, everyone. On Facebook, I'm actually Ronald Cole. So if anyone is looking for me, it would be Ronald. It's okay. Now, I just wanted to tell everyone we're approaching a full moon. That will be this Saturday, the 12th. You're ready for it. You're howling already. And it will be about 7:26 a.m. Eastern time. So those of you in Western states, you can keep minusing back for each time zone. And those of you listening in other parts of the world, adjust it for wherever your time zone is. So it's occurring this Saturday, and the full moon is in Capricorn. Now, this needs to be discussed because this is the sign of the moon in its detriment. And the word detriment actually sounds negative, and there is a negative connotation to it in astrology. Of all 12 signs of the zodiac, the moon is the least comfortable in Capricorn. It is in its most unpleasant sign for it to be. Not that Capricorn is an unpleasant sign, but the moon does not fit well in the sign of Capricorn. So whenever we get a July full moon, when we are on vacation, when we have in the northern hemisphere beautiful summer weather, and we look at that full moon, it is actually in its detriment. Now, how do you determine where the moon is? Whatever sign the sun is in at any given time, when we have a full moon, the moon will be in the sign directly opposite that in the zodiac. So you have six signs today, since there's a total of 12 in the zodiac. So
Capricorn
is six signs away from Cancer, 6 months away. And whenever we have this beautiful July summer weather and we see that full moon, it is in Capricorn. Now, that doesn't mean it's an evil full moon, and that doesn't mean there's bad forebodings, because this occurs every year. But it is the moon in its most uncomfortable sign, and it is the one full moon of the year that occurs when it's in Capricorn. Now, months from now,
Ron,
move ahead.
Ron, yes? I'm getting a message because you're going in and out and people can't hear you. Do you want to try calling back, or do you have another number you can call back on? You're going in and out.
Okay, I'll try calling back on. All right,
okay.
Let me do that.
All right.
Give me a few
okay.
seconds and I'll call back.
Okay, well, that gives me a few seconds to talk, and I love that. Kelly, I see you out there. Kelly's back in the house, everyone, and my goodness, Kelly, when you're not in chat, they all know it. I think they called me you, so I had to tell them that I'm Bonnie all the time, and that you're the late one. But anyway, I love you, girlfriend. Kelly, I just want to ask, you know, Ron is going to take questions today. So I don't know if you want to, we have several people on. They're either waiting for you or if they want to ask questions to Ron, I need to know. I don't need to know the question, just that he has somebody on there for him. So if you could, Kelly, ask while Ron is calling back in. Oh, wait a minute. I think he's already called back in and I haven't picked him up. Okay, Ron? Ron?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, here we go. I was just talking, and I looked down, and I'm thinking, Ron, and then I see you. So, you know, I could just talk. You know me. You could talk, and I can talk. We could talk for 5 hours here. So,
well,
go ahead.
Well, is everyone hearing you better now? Can we get some confirmation that it's not going in and out, or is it still doing that?
Has everybody, I'm looking in chat, Kelly, is he okay? I don't see anything yet. So,
I'll just keep talking. So if anyone has any problems, is it all right?
It's okay. Right. He's good. I hear he's good. All is good. Thank you, Angel.
All right.
Thank you, Angel Face, girlfriend, boyfriend, all friends. I know who you are. Well, but thank you. We really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Well, let me just say some of these things again, because this is very important. Under the sign of Capricorn, where the moon will be full this Saturday, that's in as a sign of its detriment, the sign that it is the most uncomfortable in. And how you determine what sign the full moon is in, you look at the sign that the sun is in. And right now, the sun is in Cancer, and it's been in that sign since June 21st. And whenever we have a full moon between June 21st and July 21st, that will be in the opposite sign of the sun, and six signs away from Cancer, the opposite sign, is Capricorn. And the moon is in its least comfortable placement in Capricorn. It's in a sign that it has the least amount in common with. So although we are in northern hemisphere summer months and vacations and beautiful time of the year and we see this beautiful full moon, it is in its placement. That does not mean we're going to have bad things happen in the world or negative things with people, but it does mean that the moon is in its most uncomfortable sign. Now,
if we
would move forward ahead,
you know,
body 6 months to Capricorn, when the sun's in Capricorn, whenever we have a full moon when the sun is in Capricorn, then it will be in Cancer, and that's the sign that the moon rules. You see?
So it's not a flip-flop, whereas Cancer with a Capricorn moon, it is in its not such great place, but when Capricorn has Cancer in its sun, then it's a good place?
Yes, 6 months from now, between December 21st and January 21st, when the sun is in the sign of Capricorn, the full moon that will occur then the moon will be in Cancer. And that's the most powerful full moon of the year because it's in its own sign. And you see,
wow,
Cancer and Capricorn sit opposite each other. And since the moon will be full in Capricorn, it is sitting in the sign opposite its place that it's most powerful. So that's one thing I wanted to mention about that. And then I wanted to talk about the effects of the full moon too, Bonnie.
Well, can I just ask one question? Because I know we're going to start getting, and I just want to tell you that my husband, Art, you know who he is, has a Capricorn moon. And I want to cringe. He's Aquarius with a Capricorn moon. And that moon does not sit well in Capricorn. So that means, I know, karmically, can you please tell people, like, what that would mean? Like, when we say, we cringe because Capricorn does not feel well in that position, that's usually a karmic bond with or working off karma, correct?
Yes, and especially with the mother and the mother's side of the family and the mother's people, because the moon represents the lineage from the mother. And so people with a Capricorn moon will often have very serious, work-orientated, money-orientated, discipline-orientated people on the mother's side of the family, often with strict ideas and being unyielding to change, often being very, like I was saying, very strict in raising their children, strict in their belief systems. And it's a sign that doesn't easily show feelings. So
that's
that
right.
Means a lot of the mother and mother's people were not the kind of people who would easily open up and show feelings.
I think that's so fabulous that you know, we're telling this on air because that is, I mean, you don't know, nobody knows my husband, but that is exactly his side of the family. So, you know, I feel bad that he does have, but I am sure he's here to work off some type of karma with that side of the family, even though there's really not much contact. But it's really interesting that I found out about this Capricorn moon when I first met you and we did all this because it explains a lot, and that's why I love astrology. So I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, no, and the moon could be in Capricorn when the sun is in any of the 12 signs of the zodiac. It's only during this time of the year and this one sign, Cancer, when the moon will be in Capricorn and be full. And that's what's going to happen this Saturday at 7:26, I believe, in the morning Eastern time. So I wanted to also mention about the moon's effect on human beings. Archaeologists were, and not just one particular group of archaeologists, but in fact several in various places in the world that were researching cave men, ancient people, were discovering that when they were doing archaeological digs, that there were layers of a great degree of bone and animal matter, and then there were layers of nothing, and then another layer of a lot of bone and animal and matter debris. And when they kept finding this, they began to calculate, and they discovered that these layers of animal matter debris were occurring approximately every 28 days, less than a month. And what they began to conclude was these were timed with the full moon. So we now can ascertain that ancient peoples, particularly the caveman type of society people that we think about, very ancient peoples, were hunters, and they would hunt at the time of the full moon. First of all, they had the advantage of easy seeing the landscape. It was more illuminated. More animals were out and about and moving about during the full moon. So they had greater kills and greater eating and greater feasting during the full moon period because they were able to kill and have more food available to them, and that's where all the bone debris came from. So
wow.
when we fast forward that to now, that's in our race history. That's in our ancestral consciousness. Our ancient ancestor people were hunters, and they hunted at the full moon. And we still, to this day, eons of time later, become stirred up and more activated when there is a full moon. And part of that is the race consciousness coming back to us from our ancestors. and they're hunting. And the other part of it is because the sun and moon are in opposition to each other, and there is this developmental tension and empowerment that's going on in the world and on the world. Tides are higher during full moons. Animals are more activated. Some people are, it's a negative experience. They become very aggressive or out of control.
Werewolf.
Or more, become more inspired. Some artists, some writers find that when there's a full moon, they click and are inspired and do greater work during the full moon. But there is an energy there that's not there at other lunar cycles.
Well,
and
you know what?
Remember, we still are tied into our ancient ancestors, even though we don't think we are. We still have the lineage, the long-ago lineage from these people and their DNA, even if there's a remote amount of it, just still within us. And that hunter-gatherer instinct becomes activated during the time of the full moon. So that is really one of the psychological reasons why, and scientific reasons why we tend to get more stirred up during the full moon. People
eat
more. Restaurants are more loaded. People act up more. Hospitals are often having greater problems. And the people who work in hospitals will say, there's a full moon. We can tell from what patients are coming in now tonight. Police force, all you have to do is talk to various police forces and people who work on them, and they'll tell you they know when there's a full moon because of the kind of calls they get and the kind of things they have to put up with in society.
Well, you know what? I'm a nurse, and I used to work the ER, so I can tell you, oh, my goodness, what we used to say on a full moon. But one thing we always waited for, Ron, that we never had in the ER, and that was a werewolf. Because a werewolf comes on those full moons, and I'm always stirred up because the moon is our sign. So I know from working the ER what comes in. I just was always lurking around the corner waiting for that werewolf. So that is
well,
so.
Well, you can verify that it's true, Bonnie, can't you? That during the full moon, people who work in hospitals and emergency rooms will know there's a full moon going on, even if they don't go outside and look and see it, because of the stuff that's going on, the kind of things being happening in the emergency room.
Absolutely, Ron. We used to say, oh, my God, the big word around when, you know, because the ER is always busy, and we never had a chance to go outside to look to see what the moon was, and I didn't have my moon app yet. People would go, what is going on here today? This must be a full moon. And you could hear policemen, firemen, peeps, and nurses always say that, and doctors, because it just so happens everyone comes out of the woodwork on the full moon. It's really crazy. So
I knew someone that was in a recovery for wrecked vehicles. He had his pickup and he had his horse for them, and he would say that during the full moon there were more accidents, there were more intense accidents, and so there is even that. Even people who are in recovery where cars and vehicles are concerned will see an increase during full moon time.
Well, you know what? I mean, just think about it. And I want to say hello to our guest. I know Janie's online. So, Janie, just give us a few seconds. And we say hello to you, girlfriend, because you're another Cancer. In fact, you're a triple Cancer. But what I want to tell you, Ron, about that is I know that it is really, really interesting, because think about it. If the full moon can actually move bodies of water every day up and back, can you only imagine what that centrifugal force does to us? Especially when it's full. I mean, I just love that we were run by the moon, because I think it's the most powerful, like electric energy force that we have.
Absolutely. Like I said, tides are higher. Sap inside trees even runs upward sometimes during the full moon. They've even measured in their minute ways that the earth even bulges upward a matter of a few inches. During the time of the full moon, it has that kind of powerful pull on the Earth's surface and on the Earth's waters.
I keep thinking we're so lucky we have the moon, you know, in our sign. But do you know, I just, before we actually bring our caller on, our guest, I want to know this. This full moon in Cancer, well, it's actually, you said, in Capricorn, is, and it's in everybody, like, I know, when you say, is it in a certain house that is bringing up, like, is it relationship house, is it, or does it hit everybody in a different house?
It's hitting everyone in a different house because the moon will move across the sky and move through the various houses, but it is in the sign of work, business and industriousness and applied hard work. So it is actually, if anything, a stimulation for work, work intensity, work focus, work dedication, and work duty boundness. That's probably the biggest key identity with the Capricorn full moon.
And do you think that people, now I don't know that I could extend it this way, but I know there's a lot of peeps out there, especially on our show and even listening, that are looking for jobs. Is this a good time to put your nose to the grindstone or getting a job, or is that not part of this full moon?
Actually, it's good for intense work, focusing in on the job and work that you already have and plowing full speed ahead with it. However, Capricorn is associated with the human ability to have a career, hold on to a career, work, and have a structure in life that brings in income and money for them. So it would be a good time to sit down and make your priorities about what job you want, where you want to work, what kind of hours and time, and then focus in on that if you are looking for a job and start looking in those directions, because this is a career-orientated full moon.
I love that, and I know I put my intents out, you know, well, not intense, but intense, you know, like an I-N-T-E-N-T-S, my intentions. I put my intentions out because I know this full moon for us, and especially in the work sector, is a really powerful moon, and especially since it's in our sign of, well, it's sitting our full moon in Capricorn, but it is in our home sign of Cancer.
Absolutely. And again, unless there are two full moons in Cancer, which could happen if one occurs right at the beginning of the sign, then there will be another one right at the ending of the sign. But unless that happens, which is very rare, the one and only full moon that occurs under the sun sign of Cancer will have a Capricorn full moon.
Well, you know what? I know probably next week this is what we're going to talk about, but because we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this. But I also, it didn't Mercury, or is it Mercury, or it's Mercury or Mars went direct. But they say that it takes time for the, it's Mars. It takes time for the wobble to get out of it. So around the 16th is really when it's going to rock straight forward. Do you know that? Or is that something that you agree with?
Mercury and Mars have both gone direct. Mercury went direct July 1st, and Mars went direct a little bit earlier than that. In fact, that's been direct, I believe, since May. But Mercury, we're now in a clear Mercury field. We don't have another Mercury retrograde starting until October 4th. So that means all of this month and August and September and the first couple of days of October, we're in free space where Mercury retrograde is.
Wow, I'm really excited because if I hit another Mercury retrograde or any, we've had every retrograde planet hit us since January, I think, and even before, and I'm ready to rock straight forward, aren't you, Ron?
Oh, I'm ready to go, and it's already showing signs of it.
I'm so happy.
I got a question really quick.
Yes.
There's a question from chat. They asked, does this apply to Capricorn rising people also? Not just, you know, somebody with Capricorn moon, but if someone had Capricorn and the rising, would that, what Ron was saying about the Capricorn, would that apply?
I don't think so.
Full moon in Capricorn is occurring in their first house, the house of their personality and the house of their physical self and the house of what people see of them, how they come across to others. That is really a stimulus full moon for them because that's the house of their physical being in the world, and that could make them very antsy. That could make them very nervous. That could make them pacing floors. That can give them hyper, high energy. That can give them all that intensity of the full moon is focusing on their physical self, physical being, and physical personality. And so that's a pretty powerful place to have this July full moon at.
Wow. But it doesn't, but if it's in the first house, it's not in your moon. It's not in her moon. So it's
well,
not.
Well, they have the Capricorn moon in birth. Let's say they have a first house rising Capricorn, and they have the moon in Capricorn there. Well, then this one could really be the hyper, tight, intense full moon of the whole year for them.
Ah, but you know what? It might be a good moon if it's Capricorn and Capricorn in its own sign. Couldn't it be that it might be lucky for job work and self-work?
Well, it will concentrate work. It could, like lighting a match, heating up something, it will heat up their work energy, work power, and work instinct.
Wow. Well, you know what? Anybody in chat, whoever that is, get to work. And if you don't, they're going to make you go to work, those planets. Thanks, Kelly, because I love this. You know, Ron, I'm going to pick up our guest. But, you know, everybody's been so antsy to get you to answer questions that I think maybe next week I'm going to be gone and Kelly will be rocking the show. Maybe we could just take questions from chat in the audience and, you know, and talk whatever you want, because we're getting a lot of questions in chat for you, and everybody's interested in what you're talking about. So hopefully, you know, we can start answering some calls and taking chat questions. So how are you for that, Ron?
That's fine. Just like you did now, Kelly, you got a question and then transferred the question to me. That would work just perfectly next week.
I think that's fabulous. And, Kel, that's your cue for next week.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
Okay, I'm going to pick up Janie because I know Janie's been waiting. Here's my girlfriend.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. Wait,
hi,
Janie.
Hi, Ron and Bon. It should be the Ron
hi.
And Bon show.
And
hello,
wait,
Bon
Janie.
And Ron.
That's right. Wait, you know what? I have to tell you, Janie rocked a birthday this week, so I have to sing her happy birthday, everyone. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Janie, our fellow Cancerian. Happy birthday to you. Mwah! Lots of love, luck, and wishes your way, Janie. Now,
oh, thank you, sweetie.
I know. And you know what? I'm
mwah,
7 days.
Mwah, back.
We're 7 days apart, girlfriend. So you can do the
amazing.
Same for me next Monday. Yes.
This is coming up, and then Jupiter goes into Leo, and it's out of Cancer. You should be losing a lot of weight.
Honey, believe me, we can't wait. I cannot wait. And it goes into Leo, which I have, what, six planets in, Ron? So
yeah,
I'm going to rock
honey.
It. I know. We're going to be happy. All right, Ron, you know Janie, this is Ron.
I know, Ron. Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hi, Janie. Very good to talk with you again.
Yes.
I believe 2 weeks ago or two shows ago I did your chart reading on the air. I have someone who told me that they have a niece who in the last, a Cancer, also born on July 14th of all things, and in the last year this lady put on 35 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Hearing this from people, not every Cancer put on weight, but there's a lot who did. And
well, listen, Janie didn't put an ounce
Leo,
on.
The weight will come off.
I know. Well,
I have
know
to
what...
say, I don't. I'm one of those rare, knock on wood, I have trouble with every other part of my body, but as far as my body goes, like physically, my weight, I never gain, except in the areas that I should be gaining.
She never gains, Ron, never. So we're not talking to a fellow Cancerian, even though she's three Cancers that gains weight. So, you know, we don't feel bad for her, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I did your chart the two shows ago, and then I did your husband Matt's chart the last show. And what I've done is to show how astrology can show compatibility or unification is a term we use between two people. You know, in some countries, especially in India, if people are going to get married or thinking of getting married, astrologers have great power in many areas of India. And what they'll do is they'll set up the astrology chart of the prospective bride and the prospective husband, and if the charts show conflict or if the charts show really big time developmental tension, the astrologer will say no, and the people will not get married.
Wow.
And this has been true particularly in the past. They had a great degree of power over whether people will actually unify in marriage or not. Astrologers have the final answer, even if two people really had the drawing or attraction to each other. Now, I'm not saying that that's how we should carry it through in Western astrology, but I am saying that the world in which astrologers are given great homage for their ability to look at people's charts. Now, in the West, we basically look at either compatibility or combatability between two people. And you can find it by doing the two charts and see. It doesn't matter what the attraction and energy is at the time of their wanting to get married or prospective getting married. The two charts will tell the whole picture. And there are times in which two different charts will have such stress, such settings of challenge between them that as an astrologer, I have to be very honest and tell people that this is not necessarily to stop marriage. I'm not trying to set a rock or, should I say, a hurdle between the two of you, but that your charts are not that compatible. And other times, they're just like made in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So remember in Shakespeare, they talked in terms of star-crossed lovers, versus, you know, ones in which energies between the patterns are just perfect and harmonious. Star-crossed lovers are the examples of people who had really great stress between each other in one chart to another. So how we do this is interesting. You set up the chart of the female and the chart of the male, or the two people who are coming together in union, or two people who are already married. And what you look at is, number one, what things they have in common. What degrees of the zodiac do they share planetary patterns in? And where do they have cross energies between them that connect? And cross in this case isn't not necessarily bad. Cross means connections in a cross way. Now, for example, Venus is a very important planet to look at in marriage, in love, and in future harmony between people. And in your case, Janie, you have Venus in Gemini, although you are a Cancer, and your spouse has Venus in Cancer, although he is a Gemini. So you have Venus in the sign of your marriage partner. He has Venus in the sign of you. And that is one of the big factors that shows a connection there, Venus in each other's sign. That is a linking pattern. The other thing is, Janie, your Venus is 23 degrees Gemini, and Matt has a planet that's not far from that. He has Mercury at 28 Gemini. So your Venus joins up with his Mercury. It's within 5 degrees. It's at that 5-degree orb. And that connects people in communication. That connects people in always having the ability to talk something out or discuss something out or vocalize things. Now, Janie, your Mercury, now here's Mercury again. In the first case I just gave is your Venus on Matt's Mercury. Now, your Mercury, which is at 1 degree Cancer, falls exactly to the same degree on Matt's Jupiter. Your Mercury is 1 degree Cancer. Matt has Jupiter at 1 degree. This is what you do in astrology. You cross-lattice the two charts. You see what they share degree to degree. Now, this is a wonderful aspect. This is called an aspect of luck between two people because whenever you deal with Jupiter, you're dealing with some form of protection, luck, happiness, joy, expansionary, thinking big, and this is the kind of an energy, since Mercury rules mind and thinking, and Jupiter's thinking big, this is the kind of thing in which the two of you can always not only have communication with each other, but have the ability to think big or think next year or think 5 years from now or look ahead or take something and expound upon it and see it and visualize it growing. The most important aspect of all, though, is, Janie, your moon is for Cancer, 34 minutes, and Matt's Venus is 7 degrees Cancer, 16 minutes. Now, remember I said Venus is very, very, very important between two people because it is the planet of love. It is the planet of the kind of person you are attracted to. It is the planet of attraction. It's the planet of marriage. It's the planet of heartfelt, heart song energy. And to have your moon, which is your ruler, because, Janie, you're born under Cancer, and any Cancerian person, no matter what sign they have their moon in, even if it's in Cancer, or it could be any of the other 11 signs, they're still ruled by the moon. Cancer is ruling the sign we are in right now. The moon, rather, rules that sign. And your Cancerian moon falls on his Cancerian Venus. That aspect alone, even without having to look at anything else, would tell me this a harmonic, lasting marriage because there is true love there. There is true connected love there. And it is enduring.
Oh, their mother's here. Her mother's it's here. I've got spirit here with me. Go ahead.
It's enduring love. This is the kind of aspect that two people would marry and stay married. But that's still not all. Then we get into karmic issues, and this next part is very interesting. Before I go into this next part, let me give you a brief history of what I'm going to talk about. There are something called the moon's nodes, N-O-D-E-S, nodes. And there is a north node and a south node. Now, in olden times or in 100 years ago or more, in the Orient, the north node was called the dragon's head, and the south node was called the dragon's tail. And in Chinese astrology, the dragon's head was good, and the dragon's tail was not good. In past Western astrology, the north node was said to have the nature of Jupiter, and the south node was said to have the nature of Saturn. And that's what all the books wrote about. That's what all the olden astrology writers would talk about. And all of that lasted until the 1970s. And then big research changes altered all of this. The breakthrough work was a man named Martin Shulman, and he wrote a book called The Moon's Nodes and Reincarnation. And anyone could still get The Moon's Nodes and Reincarnation. You could get it through Amazon and other places because it was a universal bestseller. And he was one of the breakthrough research astrologers that discovered that the north node, that was called the dragon's head and was considered under the nature of Jupiter in other cultures in the past, is a dharma, or what you are supposed to be doing in this life, where you have a future to expand, where you're going, what your future path road is. The south node, which was considered the dragon's tail or ruled by Saturn in the past, wasn't that at all, that they had totally misinterpreted it. And the south node represents connections to the past, past lives, past evolution of the soul. So he discovered that the north node is more dharma, the future, and what you are coming into this lifetime to work with and do, and the south node represents a connection to past lives. And that's simply it. Well, modern-day astrologers think in those terms. Martin Shulman's work really was right on, and it's becoming more and more provable. And, Janie, now that I said all that complicatedness, I want you to understand what I'm about to tell you because it is mind-blowing. Okay.
Ah!
Janie, you've got your north node at 7 degrees Sagittarius, but your south node is 7 degrees Gemini.
Wow.
Matt's sun is 7 degrees Gemini. Your south node falls exactly on his sun at 7 degrees Gemini. But that's not the only thing. Matt has his north node at 15 degrees Capricorn, and his south node is at 15 degrees.
Oh, your my God.
Sun, Janie, your sun is at 15 degrees Cancer.
Oh,
now,
my.
Now, what that means is Janie's south node falls exactly on Matt's sun to the same degree, 7
wow.
degrees Gemini.
So we were can I ask one question?
Well, wait a minute. I want to say this one thing. Matt's south node falls exactly on Janie's sun, 15 degrees Cancer. Yes, go ahead now.
Oh, my God. That's unreal.
Yeah, did someone say I want to ask a question? Oh, I'm ready.
Yes, yes, yes. So you're saying that, I mean, this is my interpretation, that we were definitely together in our past lives. Somehow,
yes,
some way,
yes.
we were definitely connected.
He's getting to that, Janie. He's getting to that, baby.
No, I'm asking if that what your interpretation is.
Yes, it means that this is not the first lifetime you had any personal interconnections with each other. That the reason why when you met, when you got together, and it lasted, and it will last, occurs largely because the two of you have already unified in a powerful way in a past life. First of all, it's involving the sun in both charts. Your south node is on Matt's sun, 7 degrees Gemini. Matt's south node is on your sun, Janie, 15 degrees Cancer. And that means power. Powerful. The sun represents the source of power in the chart, and that means a powerful, powerful, powerful wink. Now, many people may think, well, does that mean they held power? Were they royalty? Were they kings, queens? It could, but it's not necessarily referring to it that way. It's referring to the fact that the two of you have had enough connections together, enough evolving time together in past lives that you intertwined in a powerful way, and all that happened is in this life you found each other again, you reconnected, you met again, let's put it that way. And even though it was at maybe in your high school or earlier years, from that point on, Bing, you knew that you had found the person for your life. And it wasn't just one of you that knew that. It was both of you that knew that you had found the person for your life. One of you was a mother, and the other one was a child in a past life. One of you was a spouse, and the other one was the other spouse. It's more like a long-term number of times of being together, so much so that your souls grew together in a way of knitting together or being strongly interconnected, and that interconnection carries on in this life.
Aww.
It's very important to look at a human being's south node and see what astrology planet or point it will hit in their spouse's chart, or if they're about to get married or thinking of getting married, their prospective spouse's chart. And you actually want it to connect with something. You want it because that shows these are not new souls for each other. These are not people who have just met for the first time and are in a raw state of first introduction. And since it's the sun for both of you, you've had a long-term number of times of being together and lasting together. It wasn't just, hello, how are you, and knowing each other 5 years in the past. Long-term lasting, and long-term lasting will be also the key words for this life, too. So, in a way, you're coming into this life, and he coming into this life, you may be born different years, you may be born with other things that are quite different in your charts, but you still show an evolution between the two of you, which is one of the biggest contributing powers to success in the chart and in marriage. And also, Janie, your moon falls on his Venus. If a woman's moon or a man's moon, for that reason, one person's moon, falls on the other person's Venus, that's also like taking a needle and thread and sewing the two of them together in powerful interconnection. So you see, by listeners and everyone hearing this, there is a whole science called synergy. Synergy is looking between two people's charts and
seeing how do you
what
spell that?
Implications they have.
It's synergy, Janie. I think it's S Y N. Synergy, isn't it?
Yes, synergy.
Okay. I thought he said energy, and
Oh no, it's called synergy, like S Y N. The other thing done is there's a husband and wife, German astrology team researchers from the 1930s. That it's some breakthrough work in astrology. One was Reinhard Ebertin, and the wife was Elspeth Ebertin. And Elspeth and Reinhard did some of the most incredible breakthrough understandings of astrology mathematically, and they discovered what we today call midpoints. And midpoints is another thing that's interesting. You can take the husband's sun, S-U-N, and the wife's sun, and find the midpoint in the zodiac between the two of those suns. And whenever that point is activated by a full moon or a transit of a planet in the sky, it will always be connecting between the two of them in terms of power and in terms of energy and in terms of strength. You would take the midpoint between the husband's moon and the wife's moon, and you find that. And whenever that point is activated by an eclipse, a transit, a full moon, then it's tremendously in connecting between them on an emotional basis at that day and at that time, in a good emotional basis, because the moon deals with emotionality. So there is something called a midpoint chart that we used to have to calculate by hand that would drive us crazy because it was so hard to do that now a computer can do very quickly. And all you do is you enter the wife's city of birth, date of birth, time of birth, and name, and the husband, city of birth, date of birth, time of birth, and name. And the two charts are set up by the computer. And then the third chart, the midpoint chart, comes out. And that's the chart that whenever something activates it, it will activate those things. And like, for example, Mercury. So the husband's Mercury and the wife's Mercury, there's a midpoint in the zodiac somewhere between those two planets. Whenever that point is activated, the husband and wife will have big discussions. Long discussions, long enduring discussions. And sometimes people will say to me, well, I want to bring up this idea with my husband and I want to talk this through, and it's a really long, involved discussion. When should I do it? And I'll tell them, well, the moon will hit that midpoint between your Mercury's on this day and on this time. This is the time to talk. Or something will happen to that midpoint of those two Mercury's. That's the time to communicate.
Huh.
And people often become very affectionate, very loving. More than ever, the love power between the two of them are connected when the Venus midpoint is activated. They can have an argument. They can have a big blow-up or fisticuffs. Even people will love each other. Everyone has arguments. When the Mars midpoint is activated, Mars and Venus.
I wonder if that's what happened to me last night.
It's possible.
Because it was World War III here.
It could be the sun. It could be other planets that are transit. But this midpoint chart was totally discovered by these research astrologers. And then one of them passed away, and the other one continued to research for many decades onward. And they are just brilliant and have done some of the greatest work in astrology, which they did by total discovery on their own. They didn't have any university backing them up. They just did this because they were basically mathematically minded people, Reinhard Ebertin and Elspeth Ebertin. And they're long ago deceased now, but they've contributed great things to the world of astrology.
Wow.
Now, by the way, you can do a midpoint between yourself and your business. You could find out the date company that you work for opened, and the date it opened its door for the first customer, like 9 in the morning on this date and on this city. You can set up a chart for that business. You can have your own chart set up, and then you find the midpoints between your business between that business and your chart. And, boy, you can find the dates that you're going to have the argument with the boss, the date that you're being told you get a raise. You could just see it in those midpoint charts, like you can look in a mirror and see yourself.
Well, you know what, Ron? If you ever see Matt and Janie, you would see two people who you knew were meant for each other. I won't say they look alike because they do, but they don't look alike like, oh, she looks like him or he looks like her, but they look like a matching set. But they're so cute, and he just adores her, and she adores him. And you can tell that there's karmic background there, even from, you know, the psychic point of view. So it's really cool to hear all this. And, you know, I think that is the coolest thing that I've heard, and I wanted all of our audience to hear and all of our, you know, listeners and chatters, because this is when you find your what we call soulmate, this is the kind of chart you want to see. So that's what – I think we come down with many soulmates, but when you hit this kind of love connection and it was from very early on – I love to see it in someone's chart because it actually helps you understand the longevity of what's going on here, as even a counselor.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's so cool, Janie. You didn't know?
You know what's funny, Ron? Before, may I speak? I don't want to interrupt your thought, your thought process. I sort of knew, I mean, I don't, not astrologically, where the planets are located, but I've always felt a connection to my husband. Like, as soon as we were together, I said to everybody, this is the man I'm going to marry. Even though I knew him, and I had known him for many years before, there was just some karmic, some psychic, something intertwined, some kind of connection that I knew we would end up together. He's in Dallas now at a convention, and he doesn't leave home for very long. It's like 2 days at the most. And I hate, and I don't use that word very often, I hate when he is not here. It just, I feel like, almost like as if, and this is really strange, so I hope none of my friends are listening, but except for the two of you.
hey, all your friends should be listening.
Wait, listen, that the universe is pulling him away, and I feel like, well, I have to go too, because I can't be on this planet without him. And the kids, my kids know, too, and, like, they were checking up on me all night last night, and Matt texted me, like, four times. We spoke, like, three or four times. Are you okay? The storm's coming, you know. You sure you're okay? And he's just so good to me, and I think I'm just as good to him in different ways. And we really have a great relationship. I mean, he's wonderful. He's just the most wonderful husband I see out there.
Well, I'll tell you, Janie, the fact that you recognize this energy. Now, I'm going to be honest here. This is not a sexist comment. This is honest. But when two people have this sense that one says, that's the person I'm going to marry, it's usually the woman that's saying that, because females are much more tuned in to energy and much more tuned in to picking up on things than males. And that sense of knowing was from you and from there. But it's even deeper than that. The two of you have had a long-term time together. And that's why it seems awkward when you're not together. And that's why you, like you're unified like a needle and thread, so the two souls together a good way now in this life. Like, there is such power between your charts that if the two of you were coming to me years ago and saying, we're thinking of getting married, I would just jump up and down saying, yes, 100%
yes. Yeah, that's
now,
so strange.
I don't want to take away people's free will. Some people will still get married, even if the astrology charts do not show harmony, mainly because they're working off karma with that person, and their marriage is a way of working off karma.
Well, I got to tell you something. I said that to my husband. You know my family, Ron. I said that to my husband the first date. I looked at him. I was almost engaged in dating other people. And I said to him, I'm going to marry you. And he looked at me, and I go, and I just don't know why. Because I couldn't figure out why I even said that. And 6 months later, he asked me to marry him. He said, oh, no, no, no. Don't look at me to get married. I do not want to get married. I don't ever see myself getting married. I said, okay. 6 months later, he asked me to marry him. But that is crazy. And we're very opposite versus Janie and her husband. So I think mine's more karmically that we're working off some karma. And that will be interesting because maybe that'll be the next compatibility that you do. Because I think we're so opposite. Yeah, but wait, our son, my son is his my moon. Wait a minute. My moon is his son. I'm an Aquarius moon, he's an Aquarius sun. So that is karmically linked. But I think there was some payoff
that
he owed me.
Well, also, his moon is opposite your sun. His moon is Capricorn, sitting opposite your Cancer sun. So there's an opposition there.
So don't you think that...
You try not to get any aspects from Saturn between the two people. Saturn is the real big problem planet. And, I mean, everyone has Saturn aspects. Everyone lives through Saturn cycles. But you try not to get a lot of Saturn interconnections between two people because the more that you have through and with Saturn, the less happy or the less positive their relationship will be.
Well, I don't know where my Saturn or his is, but I know he owes me something.
How about the Saturn in, like, as far as Matt and I go?
Well, you both have Saturn in the same sign. You have Saturn in a later degree of Scorpio, and he has Saturn in an earlier degree of Scorpio.
Okay.
They're not even near each other. Your Saturn, Janie, is 26 degrees, 36 minutes, Scorpio. And his Saturn is 5 degrees, 46 minutes, Scorpio. So yours is at 26 and his is at 5. So you have it in the same sign, but you have it in opposite ends of that sign.
Okay.
And they don't interconnect at all. And either chart does not have any other planet in Scorpio. So that's the one and only thing you have. And, for example, let's say one of you had the moon in Scorpio and fell on the other one, Saturn. That would not be good.
Well, how about a sun? Our sun is a Scorpio.
Yeah, well, that's not, well, maybe just possibly the child of yours could have had their birth sun, S-U-N, near one of your Saturns. And if that's the case, they may have more distancing or discipline from that parent than the other one. But what if the child was born right in the middle of Scorpio and didn't have their son near yours or his?
Right. But our son is also born on November 20th, so that's sort of like the cusp. That's sort of like Saturn.
Well, he's born almost in Sagittarius. He's closer to your son, but he doesn't fall right on it. I mean, your Saturn. He's closer to your Saturn. Your Saturn, 26. I would say he could be 0 degrees Sagittarius at that point.
Okay.
Is this the coolest thing?
It's the most fascinating thing, astrology. I think it's the most fascinating. I think you, Ron, and Matt and I are going to further our charts. I mean, to have a full reading separately. I think you're amazing. You're just the way you – it's not just the reading. You know, you said the other 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that, you know, anyone could read a chart. I disagree because I think it's the interpretation of the chart. And even though it could be negative some aspects, you don't really – you don't thrive on that. You don't like, well, it's negative, so, you know, give up. Or it's always something positive, and the way you explain the houses and the – I just think you're amazing. I think you're great. So Matt and I will definitely be back. We'll be emailing you for
well, thank you, Janie. It was not – this is a very complex science to learn. When I first started doing astrology readings, I still remember. I don't know who the person was. I still remember the panic of the first reading I ever did because I didn't know what to say. My readings were 15 minutes long because all I could think of was enough information to just get through 15 minutes because I didn't know what else to say.
Oh, my. The first
15-minute-long reading.
Oh, and he's a three-hour-long reading now, Janie. I mean, my son sat there when Ron gave him the reading. Do you remember, Ron? And his legs started shaking. You know, my son is ADD, and he never sits that long. But he sat for Ron about 2.5 hours. And then he said, Mr. Ron, do you remember, Ron? He goes, Mr. Ron, I can't sit any. He says, I can't sit any longer. May I be excused? And Ron and I looked at each other and got hysterical. But, yeah, he goes into depth that you can't go wrong with Ron. And he, like I says, very famous and a lot of influential, as well as you all are influential. People use him. And that's why, because he can explain it. He can explain it in normal terms.
He does. He explains it in layman terms. It's so easy to understand.
Yeah.
So thank you for
that.
I just have to tell you one other thing you'll be fascinated on. My dog that's right next to me is a cancer. I can't get away from cancer. It's just bizarre.
I know, and I am,
too. Have three bonnets in cancer, and you've got all that in cancer. Now you have a pet in cancer. You've got all the greatest connections with the sign we're in right now.
Yeah, so
right,
this ought to be
right.
a good month. This ought to be a great month for you, Janie.
Every month's a great month.
You're right. But I have to tell you, I had two spirits here with me, and I'm going to go really quick because you know that I do that, and you know I had your grandmother with me with that big black bag, and she had things in her hair, and your mother was standing there, and they were on top of me when you were talking about how much, you know, you and Matt have in common and how you met, and your mother said she picked a good one, and your grandmother, you called her Mimi, what did you call her, because it was with the M.
Mama.
Yeah, Mama. She said, it's Mama, and she went to hit me with that black bag, and I picked my hand up and like, don't hit me. So she was hitting me. She goes, she's just like me, and she won't say it. And I said, well, you can argue with her when you talk to her. But
it's true. I have to say one thing. Today would be my father-in-law's birthday, so I have to say happy birthday up there, Pop. It's Matt's dad.
I see some people from Matt's family, but they're standing behind yours because yours are really tough. They're tough. They came right to me. So, but I do see standing in back Matt's. Is his mother still here?
No, she does. She passed away. She was my best friend. She was a Capricorn. She was a Capricorn.
Yeah, she's behind. She's behind your mom and your grandma. Well, your mom. She's behind there, and she keeps hitting me. Mom, okay. She's behind them, and she's when you were talking about Matt, she was just beaming, Janie, and you've got four people with you right now, and all of them are in spirit. All of them are with you. They love you very much. I see the three women, and I see Matt's dad, and he's behind her, so he's farther back. But which I don't know if you had a great, you know, I don't know what your relationship was to him. So. So I do see them standing. Usually the relationships come first, and I can see them standing in line. So I can tell you that you're loved. I know that they're with you. They're with you for your birthday. They're handing me your mom says she wishes that you could see her for your birthday, though you know she's there, is what she's saying to me. And she's saying that, and she's, oh, my goodness, she's smiling at me, and she's saying to you, thank you, because she knows it's not easy, and you know what she means. So I'm not going to go into that, but this is what she's saying. You know what she means. So, and your mom, oh, she's got this tight hair. It's like tight to her head. Like, I can't explain it how it looks. And she's got a big oversized coat on. And she's just stand there. And she keeps saying, it's her mom, it's her mom, it's her mom. So I know they're all there for you, and they're handing me like all kinds of flowers to throw at you, except your mom, who isn't throwing flowers at you. And they said that if you ate a birthday cake, they would be sharing it with you. So did you not have a birthday cake?
You.
Did you have a birthday cake?
We didn't have, I don't remember. We had the best birthday. It was all of us. It was, you know, my daughter and my son-in-law, our daughter and son-in-law, and Mike, and the two of us, and
well,
we
did
were
you have
always.
A birthday, But did you have a birthday cake?
No, I had an opera singer, actually.
Right, because they're well, that's what they're saying. If you had a birthday cake, they would be sharing it with you.
Okay,
so
well, thank you.
You know, and they're laughing.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to you and Ron. Your birthdays are coming up.
That's
yeah.
Right, Monday.
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
And
Ron,
and
I have a
you, Bonnie.
Ron,
happy birthday to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Where's your moon,
well,
Ron?
My moon, just like you, I'm that sun and moon in Cancer, just like you do.
God.
You and Janie were both born on the new moon. I want to also mention on July 14th, happy birthday to France, because that's Bastille Day. And today is the Independence Day for the Bahamas. So the Bahamas are also a Cancerian country. So happy Independence Day to the Bahamas today, the day we're doing
wow.
the show.
Maybe
do
we should all go there.
Yeah. Do you think they would throw us a party? Because it's our birthday, too.
Yeah, France should, because we share the day with France.
I know.
I think that we should all meet there. Just the three of us.
I love it. I know Ron would love it. Ron, you would love Janie. I'd be the one running wild, and you two would be laughing at me, going, Bonnie, you can't do that. But it's okay because, you know, I got a lot in Rosalia. Yes.
You could do anything. You could do anything. The fact that you sing when you can is just beyond belief.
I know, because you know what? I hear myself as a singer. I told you I'm coming back as Lady Gaga. Well, Susan hates when I say that. So I'm coming back as, what is her name, Madonna. She doesn't like Lady Gaga because of the food thing, and she threw up. So the thing is, I'll rock Lady Gaga's style. I'll sing like Madonna, and I'm coming back as a rocker, but I want a female version. Joan Jett, maybe. So, yeah, I have to sing, Janie.
Okay. That's fine. As long as you're happy, honey.
I am, girlfriend. I am. And
okay,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Both of you. Really. I'm so grateful. Really. I'm grateful for everything in my life. I'm grateful for you guys. Really, Ron, I'm so grateful. Thank you for the hookup, Bon.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll tell you, you found the right person, and he found the right person in this life. You are perfect as two can be.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Janie, thanks
so much,
Bob. And I hope that
have
I hope
a great
play this for Matt.
Guys. I'm going to listen to you. And Bonnie, don't forget, I'm coming there on the 23rd.
Honey, I'm here for you. Get here,
okay.
Or I'll come down
all right,
there.
Sweetie.
All right, love you, love you.
Take
bye.
Care. Ron, again, Matt and I will be in touch. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much, everyone. Also, I want to say thank you also to Kelly. I know next week you're going to be on the show, but Kelly, you're up against all these Cancerian people. I'm telling you, you really have an armful here.
Wait, Kelly, I'll come on. Wait, she's going to come on. Kelly! Hi, girlfriend.
Ah, here we go.
I had to unmute you. So, you know what, Kelly? You're an Aquarius. I have an Aquarius moon, and my husband's Aquarius. So you're kind of like fit right in here. But when you talk about me and Ron, he's a Cancer through and through.
Indeed. You both are. That's what still amazes me is like you guys same birthday, same birth card. Now, granted, different years. You know, you're gonna have different things happening in the different years. But it's like it would be one of those really interesting things to go back and just kind of like you know compare and say you know, well you know like you know Ron, what happened to you in your 40th year? You know, Bonnie, what happened to you in your 40th year? And then see what the cards actually said was gonna happen. You know, because like we found. That you know, there's a few people that have been able to do stuff like that with who've had, you know, like similar birthdays. And it really is amazing how, I'll just say, similar people can experience life. Even though they're very different, they can have similar experiences when the context of, you know, of what is happening with them in the years is just, it's pretty amazing.
Well, you know what, Ron? I got to tell you, where I am in the Idiot's Guide to, I'm still on the third page of the Idiot's Guide to Astrology. I'm really on the second page of the Idiot's Guide to the Atlantean Life and Birth Cards here. So, I mean, you know, unless you're with me, boyfriend, I don't know how we're going to rock the same card because I am clueless with all this stuff, although I love it. So,
keep reading the Idiot's Guide. You'll get through it.
I just can't. I can't keep the houses straight. But anyway, you're keeping me straight, and I'm actually learning, so that's cool. And, Ron, you know that Kelly would give you, now that's your birthday, in fact, next week, because your birthday will be Monday. Monday, I'm having, I'm going to have my birth cards read. But you might want to have Kelly, because it's your year, and it just goes for a year. So on Wednesday, you might want to, after your part, to stay on with Kelly and let her do your year cards, birth cards.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be fascinating. I would enjoy that very much. So
today,
Kelly, I'll be on the line with you.
Yeah, right. So Kelly, if you want to get his information before, you know, it's July 14th. Now, Ron, you can tell. Do you need – that's all you need, isn't it? Or you need his age?
Just the age that he's going to be turning, you know, in the – you know, not the age he is.
All right, what I'll do is I've got your phone number and I've got your email, so I can
call
him.
Yeah, and then you just stay on, Ron, next week, and she'll do yours because she's going to do mine. And then if you'll save both of them, Kelly, then you can compare them for us.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Ron, I love you, and you rock the show. And I know next week to tell everybody, Ron is going to be taking questions. So general urology, not urology.
I'm not going to do urology. Urology. Only astrology.
Astrology. I'm a urology nurse, everyone. That's why I can rock the sexual issues part of counseling. But anyway, it isn't urology. It's astrology. That's why I can't get through the third page of the Idiot's Guide because I'm not reading a urology book. But anyway, Ron will absolutely take calls about the general astrology. Like we answered questions in chat, Kelly will read them to him and he will answer. And if you want to call in, just make sure your questions are general and he will absolutely put you on an answer. So that's next week and I'm excited for that. And Ron, I thank you.
I have to have a chart. And since I don't have a chart, I can't do readings. Now, the folks I did today, Janie and Matt, I've had their charts done.
Yeah, but he's just telling you he can answer general questions about planets, wherever you have your planets, but he cannot answer your anything on your chart because he doesn't have it. So if you want to know about Saturn retrograde, if you want to know about a Capricorn moon, he'd be more than happy to talk to you about it, and it's going to be a cool show. I wish I was part of it, Ron, but I am going to be at the beach. So,
could you maybe get it pick it up again after it's been already recorded, you know, in the retreat?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? I micromanage everything. That's what I was told. So, you know what? I have to listen to it. So,
you know, I wonder how many people listening realize that they can pick up these shows in your, I guess you almost want to call it a retrieve library. All these shows from last year through now are on that availability.
Okay. Yes,
I know, and they're archives. I love that. I wish more people would pick them up because the more people that do pick them up, the more, like, points I get. I don't know what they do with the points, but whatever they do with them, I get them. So I wonder if I can go to Saks after a while. They can give me points, and I go to Saks. So everybody, please, just listen to the archives. Get me some points. Maybe Starbucks will pick me up. I don't know. But anyway, Ron, I will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. At the Thai place. We'll see you then, and it's our lunch birthday. So have a great evening, and I'm always home for you, Ron. You know that.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. And also, everyone, thank you for listening. And I'll look forward, Kelly, to communication with you this week and then next week's show.
All righty.
That's perfect. All right, Ron, have a great evening. And say hello to the birds for us. I didn't hear them.
No, because I covered them up. They were having so much fun today, squawking, playing, jumping around, squawking, and they were doing fun. They weren't hurting each other. They were just enjoying themselves. That it would have been incredibly loud. I mean, I wouldn't even be able to talk. So I'm going to uncover them now so they could come back to life.
Oh, I love those birds. So, yes. I love them. Please give them a kiss and a hug for me. You can't really hug them, but kiss them. Are they standing on your finger yet, Ron?
Not yet, but they do allow me to put my hand in the cage to get things out of the cage now. They've become much more calm about that.
Oh, I love that, because you know me. As soon as I get there, I'm going to stick my finger in there. So anyway, I've known them since birth, and I can do that. But I love you. I love you. Have a great day, and thank you for really informing everybody, showing people what you do. Again, it's livingastro@aol.com. Ron, just send him a note, and if you want an appointment or you want a reading, he'll let you know how much it is, and he'll give you an appointment. He's fabulous. Everybody uses him that I know, and he's just our famous cool astrology guy. So, Ron, we'll see you back next week, and thank you.
Thank you, too, and happy birthday, and I'll look forward
happy
to the next
birthday.
Week.
Hey, I sung to you,
happy
so
to you
happy
too.
Birthday. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I just love Ron, and I know you do, too, Kelly. You get a kick. You know, I want to put
too.
You on a different day, because you know what? You are really enamored and fascinated with astrology.
I am. I just listen to him. I have a. It's like there's times when it's like you know it's hard to multitask. I was going to say double task, but it's like sometimes it is. It's hard to chat and try to listen to Ron because he just he gives it like a college professor, and he's like I just want to go take notes, you know. So I listen
absolutely.
To archives.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, you've got two calls on, and even though I was going to be your first caller, I think I'm going to call you, and maybe you'll do it for me later this evening because you have two calls on.
Okay.
Do you know who the two calls are?
Wait, and we actually have a question for you in chat.
Yes.
There's Lil Gale that was asking here. Let's see, just a minute. I'm going to finish posting that on Facebook. Okay, there we go. Looks like... Yeah, I'm typing one hand in the boot here, so it's like, this is real fun. Not only am I...
That's okay, but let me tell everybody...
One hand.
Right, I need to tell everybody tomorrow's Laura Pierrette. She and you are going to rock the show. She does healing. It's the secret language of light. It's secret because I don't know if anybody knows what they're actually saying, but I can pick up the different languages. So I know with my attuned, astute
awesome.
Chatters, callers and listeners, you can too, and she's really cool. So anybody that needs healing, anybody that wants healing, whether it's mental, physical, or whatever, you know, comes up, please give Laura a call, and she'd love to talk to you. She's really a cool lady. She's got some gifts that just came in, so she does all different things, but the secret language of light, or the language of light, is actually what she's going to rock tomorrow. And then next week, I have to tell you, because next week is my this summer is really crazy hours for me. Next week, I will only be on for an hour, and that is on my birthday, because I want to share my birthday with all of you. So if I'm on for half an hour, Susan and I are going to rock my birthday, and that is Monday. Tuesday, I will not have a show, and then Kelly is going to pick up Wednesday with Ron. You just heard Ron and herself, and Thursday, Leslie Journey is in the house next week for 2 hours, and she will be rocking it with Kelly. Yeah, so I'm really excited, and then I will be back. We have a show when I come back that we put on at night. It's on the Friday, the 25th, and that is with the Intuitive Messenger. He's a pet psychic and a tarot reader. He is cool and adorable. So whoever's on my Facebook, you can take a look at him. He's also on my Facebook. It's called Intuitive Messenger, and he will be with us. He's going to rock that show at 7 to 9. He will be the first hour, and then Susan and I will be the second. We're just going to try a night show and see what happens. So that's
yeah.
going to be coming. And then we go into August, and I'll talk to you about August, because the middle of August I'm going to be in New York. So yep, and I will hopefully bring you those shows live from New York, live from Radio City, New York, and maybe even like the Katz's Deli, and I'll grab some people for everybody. So it's going to be a cool until September when things will settle in. Please bear with me. The shows are going to be like up, but we don't know what we're doing at this point, but you will have shows. So, Kelly, go ahead. What's my question?
Okay, question. This is from Carrie M., and she said, Bonnie, does anybody in spirit have any insights about my love life?
Okay. How old is she?
Does
she have a male in spirit? Whether it's a, because he's wagging
he's
his finger. Yeah, he's wagging his finger. So it's either a, he doesn't look that old, but I would imagine it's either, if she's 49, it might not be her father. but it might be. It's somebody on, it looks like it's somebody on her father's side, and it's a male.
Oh, she said yes, her father. She
yeah,
yes,
it's her father. And he's wagging, oh my goodness, he's wagging his finger at her. What is she doing?
I don't know.
let me just ask him. It, you know, they're showing me that song, looking for
in
love.
All the wrong places. So no.
So and he, you know what, he's shaking.
Always been judgmental.
Yeah. He's just shaking his head, and he says she's a good girl. And she deserves, you know, better. And I don't know why he's saying this, and I don't have you on the line to, you know, actually talk to you. But I don't know if you've had some issues and you've been in a long-term relationship that didn't work out, or what he's and then what he said is, you aren't made to be alone. So he's, oh my goodness, he's here. He's saying that you need to look in other places, which is why I'm getting the looking for love in all the wrong places. Ask her if she is on any type of dating service, such as ihatintherockmatch.com, only because I know so many people who have met people through it. And you don't really have to meet anybody through it. You have to learn how to date and maybe pick the wrong right people. Meaning start dating people that you normally maybe would overlook, because that's what he's saying.
Okay, here's what she said. She said no dating service, but she said long-term without joy.
Yeah, that's what he's showing me. And what he's showing me is that you don't really know how to pick them, because you're leading with your heart, not with your intuitive
not with your
head. So I don't know if she's
the same problem, Bonnie. Why do you think I don't date?
Wait.
The last Titanic moment. It's like, no.
Yeah, you really got that one. What he's saying is that she needs to start learning that what her heart wants, you need to listen to your intuitive head. Now, to me, when he says that, might be that she actually does rock some gifts, which I really like.
Because I always listen to my heart.
Yeah, and he doesn't want her to lead with her heart anymore. And this is why I suggest getting on a dating service, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to do it real quickly because I have somebody that has to be here. My daughter starts her test tomorrow, and I've got some things I got to do, and you're going to be on the show, Kelly. But this is what I'm going to
say. You know, I was going to say, before you totally bug out, it's like what I was going to do was going to go through because with the two callers we have, it's like, and just see if they had a question for you or if it was for me.
Well, so listen, if they do have a question for me, they can call on Monday because I am going to have to go. But I didn't finish with this caller yet. I got a spirit here.
I am intuitive. I am intuitive, but my heart leads me.
Yes, it's not. That's what her dad's saying.
Take your head with you.
And that's why he's saying use your intuitive head. So what I suggest, and he's shaking his head yes, is you have to learn how to date. And that's something he's saying you don't know how to do, because you kind of just fall like in love. So the thing is that because of that reason, what I want you to do is get on a dating service. Wait a minute, let me say goodbye to my son. Hi, honey.
Can I go to the mall and get those shorts?
You asked for something off on them.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know my, but it's going to really pour.
I don't care.
Okay, so go ahead. And okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Where's the credit card?
It's in my pocket. Go look in my pocketbook downstairs. It's in the black one, I think. Anyway, just to let you know, sorry about that. I've got everybody home, and that's why I'm cutting this short in the summer. with care, the thing is, what he's saying, and he's sitting there tapping his foot on the ground. Thank you. Well, sometimes I have to have a life too. Okay, so I just was talking to the spirit. Anyway. What you need to do is you need to learn intuitively what's right for you. And he's saying to me that you've just like kind of fallen, you know, in love or fallen for someone and didn't really know what you were headed for with your long-term relationship. And that's usually what happens. So what I do suggest you do is get on Match.com, because I think it's – I don't know that you have to pay, or I don't, maybe I don't know, or over 50, because that's what Susan likes. I prefer Match.com only because I think it gives you all ages. You can go through – I think I gave this speech yesterday about how to set up a profile, because that's important. It keeps 80% of the people you don't want to read and be with you away, and the other 20% you're just going to have to weed out. But one of the things I have to tell you, and they're showing me, is that you need to really start looking, and I don't know why your dad's saying this, but stop looking at the bad boy.
My dad has a strong personality.
Yeah, he's saying stop looking at the bad boys. So I don't know if he thought her, yeah, so what you need to do is really learn. Take a look at what, put your priorities down on what you want. You want somebody nice. You want somebody to treat you right. You want somebody intelligent. You want somebody, you know, I'm just giving you a list. Somebody who has a job, somebody who loves Italian food, somebody who reads books, somebody who, you know, will take a Mai Tai every once in a while, but not every night. I mean, whatever you want, and start looking and weeding them out. And don't look at looks. He's telling me.
Oh,
I know you have to look at their person. And there is somebody there for you. He's saying there's somebody there for you. I can bring her up. There's somebody there for you, but you have to look for him. I would say, can you tell me how old she is? Because I can give you about a time frame.
Yes,
where I see.
Yes, 49.
Okay. Then she might want that 50 and over. I think it's Susan always mentions it, but I never can remember the name of the dating service. But what I am seeing is by the time you're in your 53rd year, which is really 52, that you will be totally smitten, gone, and taken. So that means to me you've got about 2 years to date or to find him, because, you know, you're not going to get married right away. I can tell you that right now.
Right.
So, and I think you're skeptical. So you've got to take a different perspective. And I've got to tell you how to date is when you don't talk to them, because I think you're kind of gun-shy. I feel like you're gun-shy. And if you don't feel like you're gun-shy, you are. You're skeptical. And so what you want to do is just pretend they're your friend. Don't talk to them over 3 times. Make them meet you for a cup of coffee. No more than a cup of coffee at a Starbucks, a local place. And what I suggest you do, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you'll know, your intuitive self will know whether it's worth pursuing. Your dad said there's going to be help from the other side to take away the people that have given you pain, meaning they're not going to bring, they're not, the lessons you've learned are, you've learned them already. And you need to go with what they bring in for you and see how that works. Because what he's saying is that you don't want to fall into the same pattern you did with this last relationship. So I will tell you, I have to ask your dad to step away because I've got somebody here right now, and to let you know that you won't be alone, that he, even though he's strict, he looks like he's strict, he is watching over
personality.
You. Yeah, he's watching over you, and he says if you'll just listen, he's not going to let anybody come back in like the last one. So where you don't have to, like, love somebody for your father, you need to take some of his advice is what I'm getting. So
let dad scream the caller, so to speak.
Well, just do me a favor. Take a look 180 degrees, not 360, and take a look at somebody you never would have thought of dating, okay, because that's what they're showing me, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. So if she wants to call back on Monday, I'll be there. If her father's sitting there on like a chair, and his legs are in like a jean with a cap. That he's sitting there with like a reed in his mouth. I can't see what he looks like, and like a sharp shoe, whether it's a cowboy boot underneath his pants. I don't know. It's the funniest scene that he's showing me, and I don't know that that was him or it's a symbol for her. But it's really, he's sitting on a porch with some kind of swinging chair or a chair, like a rocking chair. I don't see that whole scene. I just feel it. And I feel him shaking his leg, like his leg is moving. So I don't know if he used to, you know, move his leg. Like my leg now, my girlfriend sitting here, is moving up and down. So either he moves his leg a lot, you know, with crossover.
She said he loves sitting in a rocking chair.
Yeah, that's
the other,
him.
And the other thing was, she said, thank you for the hope you've given me today. She appreciates all the gifts and all the good stuff that you share with so many. And she said he would bounce his leg.
Yeah, that's him. Well, I'm going to ask him to step down. Oh, he's asking me to send her his love. He's bowing his head down, which means to say that, you know, he loves you the way he's telling you, and that he's watching out for you, and you know, he's really close. He's really close because I could see him. He's really close to her, you know, as far as like he's watching, whether she knows it or not or even wants him, he's watching. So, Nadine, you're not leaving. Oh, okay. I've got my girlfriend here, so I am going to ask you because it's only like I'm not going to shut the show down, Kelly. I'm just going to hang up because I'll leave the show up. But I've got to walk off. And anybody that would like, I am doing an hour on Monday. And I love that everybody, you know, even wants to hear from me. And I can't tell you, and you, Kelly, too, how much I thank you. Y'all mean a lot to me. I really was thinking of taking the whole week off, but I really can't because I miss everybody. I thank all our chatters. I love all our callers. And I love all our chatters, and I love our listeners. Please like us, and you mean the world to us. And we wouldn't have these shows without you. So keep calling in and listening. And thank you for even wanting to hear, you know, anything from any one of our co-hosts. So, again, thank you and have a great weekend. Tomorrow you have a healer on the show with Kelly.
It's
Kelly,
amazing.
I love you. You go for it. You need to read my card. So either you're reading them on Monday on my show, you better call in. Because I'm going to do an hour show, 1 to 2. And then from 2 to 2:30, you're going to do my card. So will you call in Monday for me? Okay, that'll be on my birthday. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. And love everyone. I'll talk to you on Monday. Bye.
Okay. And Carrie said, that's him. She said, thanks for the message. Hearts, love.
Thank you. Love. Yes, it is. And tell her thank you. It's an honor, a pleasure to talk to her family. And thank her please thank you for letting me in and letting me see Spirit and letting me be a part of your family. So thank you.
All right, pal.
Love you.
All right.
Bye.
Love you, too. We'll talk to you. Talk to you again. Okay, we got a couple callers. Well, I'm going to say thanks to our callers here for hanging in there. And if you're waiting to talk to Bonnie, she's got to take off here for the moment. Oh, let's see. Now, how am I going to do this? Okay, guys, hold on for just a second because, let's see. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to have to call back in. So what I need to do is I wish I had some musical suggestions, but hang on to this one. It's like I've always wanted to play this one, so I'm going to. It's called the Monster Mash, and we'll be right back, so hang on.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Wow.
The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the match.
They played the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the match.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the match.
They played the monster match. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the match.
It's now the monster match.
The monster match.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the match.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the match.
It's now the monster match. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you the living, this mash was meant to, when you get to my door, tell them what it said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash
good! Yes, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash good!
Monster mash! Monster mash!
All righty. That's one of my choices there. It's like, she's got this on here, and I love it. Love the Monster Mash, and I never get to play that. So, all right, we're back on. This is what we did was when Bonnie hung up, it left us without a host, so I had to hang up and then call back in. So, yeah, so we won't be bumped off air immediately as soon as we go into overtime. Okay, callers, I have 845 and 805, and if 857, you decide you have a question, we'll get to yours too. So let's giddy up and go here. 845.
Hey. Hi, hello. Kelly. It's Diana. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a while, and I didn't even know that you were going to be on today. I called in because I was getting, updates from Bonnie's show, and I had never gotten to, Ron. And I was getting these notices, and I said, let me call today. And I said, oh, gosh, Kelly's going to be on. So, yeah, so it's probably meant for me to speak with you because I didn't get to speak with Bonnie or Ron. I was like, wow, that's so wild.
That is.
I just would take a general reading because I have a lot of, like, health issues going on right now and, you know, so much other stuff going on. So I guess generally I will see, you know, what's going on.
Okay. You got to help me here in a second. And I will tell this to everybody. It's like, I apologize. It's like, you know, even though I know you guys and I recognize, you know, it's like, and I know you call in, it's like, honest to God, I don't keep anybody's birthday. So anytime you come in, you have to tell me what month and day you were born and tell me your age because
absolutely.
I truly don't remember.
I know that. That would be wonderful if you remembered all of that, right? 4/24/61.
424. I'd have a photographic memory. I'd be famous in something else if he would. 424.
Right.
Okay, so you're the Ten of Clubs, and you've got the King of Spades as your planetary ruler, and you're how old right now?
What?
You're born in 61. Help me with the math here. 71, 81, 91, 1, 11, 12, 13, 14.
I'm 53.
Yeah, okay. So we're looking for a Ten of Clubs who is 53, and let's see what is going on for you this year. Oh, my goodness. Of course, you know, Ten of Clubs is like, you know, one of those kind of like the power cards, you know. It's like, that's a really good card for starters. Okay, this year, in your long range, you have got, and this is cool because this has just started for you. It's like with that 24. What I'm going to do here real quick is let me just give you a quick overview, you know, for your year so you have your dates. Okay. Of course, you know that Mercury started on your birthday. Now, your Venus time started June 15th. So that's what you're in right now, and because the Venus time is still going. Your Mars time will not start until August 6th. Your Jupiter time will start September 27th. The Saturn time doesn't start till November 18th. The Uranian time starts January 10th, and your Neptune
time begins March 3rd, 3-3, until, of course, your next birthday. So right now, you've got the better part of your year ahead of you, which is really awesome. It's a good time to do this. With that Eight of Hearts as your long range, it's like that's where most of your attention is going to be going this year. And it's one of the power cards, and it's in relationship. It's in, and so many times we have too narrow a definition for relationships, because relationship is not just, you know, not just our spouse, not just our mate, but our relationships are truly with everybody. It's with, you know, with our mom, with our dad, with our, you know, grandparents,
friends,
with our aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and, you know, with sisters and everybody. So, you know, it's your, I mean, even, sometimes it's even the relationships you have with the local grocer that you've known for 30 years, you know, down the street type of thing. So it's all about relationships, and you're going to have power in your relationships this year, and that's something that really is, you're really focused on this year. It's really, you know, it's your important issue that you're working on this year. With that being said, okay, what you've already had passed, you had a Jack of Spades and a Three of Spades in the Mercury time frame. Of course, Mercury is, you know, the short-lived, it's like the winged Hermes, and it's like you probably have some very creative thoughts going on, but they're also, the Spades are also about, like what you said, Spades are about your health issues. So you could have, you know, with all that creativity, and, man, double. And, you know, with that, you could have had some really creative ideas with that, about things. You could have had creative ideas about, you know, health or work or, you know, whatever. But, again, if it's health things that are showing up, just out there that, you know, you might need some creative ideas, you know, to get through this. Now, what it does show, interestingly enough, here in Venus right now, you've got the Ace of Spades and the Ace of Hearts. So you're going through an extreme transformation right now, because the Ace of Spades is, you know, the card that represents this whole entire deck. It's the Magi card. It's the card of transformation, you know, the Phoenix Rising. So, you know, whatever you're going through, and at least it's going to, at least it's in the Venus time, so it's going to be done with love, which is nice.
Okay.
But it's also with that, combined with that Ace of Hearts, it's it's that looking for love. And I'm as bad as Bonnie, looking for love in all the wrong places, yeah. But it's like the start of the new love. So it's like, you know, whether your new love is something to do, you know, with your health or with career or with an actual person, or just, you know, something you love doing. It's like, you know, maybe you might discover you might love to be the, you know, the story time teller at the local library, you know, something like that. But there's something, you know, new in your life that's coming in as a new love. But you're, at the same time, you're going through this transformation, and it's a change that, you know, health-wise, you're going to have some transformations. You're going to realize that some of the things you're doing health-wise are not the best for you. So you're going to be, you know, kind of, I mean, this is going to be, you know, life, I'll say life transforming. It's like in the sense that it's something that you're going to figure out, you know, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this from now on if I want to. Like the country western song, you know, it's like, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. So that's where you're at right now, okay? So kind of visualize that out and go, yeah, if I'm going to be on this planet for, say, another 47 years, it's like, how do I want to live? You know, do I want to live healthy? Do I want to live, you know, where I can go out and, you know, swim in the seashore? Or do I want to be out there in a wheelchair trying to get sand stuck in my wheels? You know, that kind of stuff. So it's like, this is really going to be a transformation for you, okay? Along with that, in your Mars time, dealing with men, you got a little bit of a challenging thing going on there. You got the Three, which is, again, creative, but you've got the Three of Clubs, which is about communications. And the communications, sometimes the clubs, I think of them, they kind of tend to be like the Neanderthal people, you know. Think of the guy dragging his knuckles and dragging the club, and it's like sometimes the clubs club people. So just be careful you don't club people, especially when it's in Mars, especially when you're dealing with men, because that makes them mad. So you can have really creative ideas, which is awesome, but just be careful in your conversations with men that you don't, you know, whack them alongside the head and get them upset with you. But it does have the Seven of Hearts, which is faith. And that's, you know, one of the spiritual cards. It's like, it's, you know, having faith in relationship and in love. So it's like, I'm not sure if you're looking for love, you know, in all the wrong places, or no, you can't be like the cave girl and whack him and drag him home. Please don't do that. But yeah, so there's, you know, but there's something there in dealing in, you know, in dealing with men, whether it's, you know, male relatives or, you know, somebody you're going to have to deal with someplace else. Just be, you know, just have that faith. Just, you know, be in a loving space. Just be, and I'll just say that, you know, in a loving space with people. Okay, in your Jupiter time. Now, it's really nice. It's like you've got a really interesting pair there. You've got the Nine of Spades and the Three of Hearts. Nine of Spades can be a very challenging card, especially if it was like, you know, like in Saturn. But with it in Jupiter, you're going to see the best side of that card. It's like you're going to see, you know, things that could have been, you know, like an abyss, you know, just turn into a pothole, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's like instead of having to, you know, walk over the bridge, just like, you know, a 1,000-foot drop, it's going to be, oh, I'm just going to leap over the puddle. So it's like that's what Jupiter will do for you with that particular one. But it does indicate that there's going to be some changes, some endings, whether it's in health or career or something you're tying up, something that is going to be coming to a completion, okay? But with that Jupiter influence, that's your blessed time of the year. It's like it'll be in the best, most positive way possible, okay? So, and even if it doesn't, you know, even if you go, man, this seems like this is a really sucky time to happen, just, you know, stop and think for a moment and go, you know, if this wasn't in the Jupiter placement, it could be so much worse. I don't know if it helps to think of it that way, but just kind of think of it that way. But you've also got, again, that Three of Hearts. You've got so many hearts this year. Three of Hearts, again, is, you know, really creative, really, you know, loving, you know, again, you know, with your relationships and stuff. So creativity and love. the happy home bakers, you know, something like that. It's, I don't know. They're showing me, like, you know, hearts on a cake, and I'm like going, okay, that's really interesting. I don't know if she's a cake maker. It's like I have no idea, but maybe something with hearts in a cake. I don't know. Saturn. Now, Saturn, thank God, you have at least in the hard part of the year, you've got some strong positive cards. You've got a Four of Clubs, and you've got a Ten of Diamonds. So the Four of Clubs is going to give you that stability, and again, that's with clubs, with you know, yeah, carefully, you don't club people, but it's also they're the scholars of the deck. So it's with communications, it's with learning. So you may find yourself either, you know, like taking a weekend seminar class, or you know, sharing what you know. But it's like somehow, whether you're going to be really stable, really solid, because fours give us that, you know, that solidity. Like, you know, there's chairs have, you know, typically chairs have four legs, you know, that kind of stuff. Anything with a four is going to be really solid. So, you know, Saturn kind of demands of us that we get our, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's, you know, type of thing. But at least with this, it's a really positive outcome. And you've got the Ten of Diamonds in Saturn, which is the blessed card. So, you know, whatever challenges and karmic things might come up under Saturn, you're going to be, you know, you've got that blessed card, and you're going to have some really, you know, solid stability. And it's like anything with the, like with the 4, 6, or 8, you know, those are strong overcoming cards. So anything that would be a challenge is going to be overcome, I'll say, with grace, you know, with grace, with love, with, you know, a lot easier. I said it's really funny looking at this because, you know, your blessed time of year, you got the challenging cards, so that's kind of negated, and then in the challenging time of the year, you've got some really good positive cards, so it's like, not so bad. In the Uranian time frame, you've got a Seven of Diamonds and a Six of Diamonds. Seven, again, is, you know, having that faith. The diamonds are the adults of the deck. They're also about your values. They're also about your money. So you might have some karmic things going on because the six are the, you know, are the karma cards. So you might have some, you know, debts owing, some, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, some relationship past, you know, that kind of stuff. Something that's going to be balanced out. And it's going to be in an unusual, fun way because the Uranian is like, you know, that's the sign of Aquarius. It's, you know, Uranus is a fun planet. It's like the lightning bolt's highly unexpected. And it's like, yeah, you know, there's a new way to have fun with balancing the karmic thing. This would be the sign to hit under. So, you know, that's going to be towards the end of your year, of course. And then Neptune, that continues. You've got that Six of Diamonds continued in the Neptune time frame. So whatever it is like, you know, the last 104 days, before your next birthday, which would be like, that'll be like in March, like, you know, like a couple months there, because it's 50-50, that's about 100, it'll be like, yeah, 104 days, that'll take you clear back to, from March, February, I'll take almost back like to January, so it's like, in, you know, from January onwards, kind of like, you know, you're going to be finishing up something, I'll say, karmically, with values and with finances, so that's, you know, like I said, that's going to be at the end of your year, you know, before you turn 54 next year. The other cards you have here, you've got a Pluto result pair. Now, what's really interesting, the challenge card, because Pluto's the challenge card. That's the King of Hearts. And then the result card is the Queen of Hearts. So it's kind of like there's a challenge there somehow or other to, and the King is also known as the Loving Father card. So whether it's you're finding, you know, a person, I'm not sure if you're looking, if you're looking for someone or not. You might, you know, it might be that your challenge is, you know, you're kind of looking for a person, but the result card, really and truly, with that queen, queens are about self, self-mastery, you know, self-mastery, self-respect. It's about finding your own center with your self-respect. But the Queen is also known as the marriage card. So it's like, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you're looking to get married or, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, whatever that is. One or the other, it's like you that might be with, you know, combined with that Eight of Hearts that you have as your long range, it's like you really might be, you know, looking to establish, you're looking for a dating relationship, and it's like in that, you know, that kind of might be, you know, the answer is like, you know, the Loving Father card being the challenge and the marriage card being the answer. So I'm like going, okay. Very interesting overall for your year there. The environment card, which is, that's kind of like a year-long blessing card. Now, that's a Jack of Diamonds. Jacks are notorious because they've got the good side and, you know, and the low side. You know, like I've got friends in low places, okay. Jacks give you a lot of creativity. On the high side, they're, you know, extremely awesome, wonderful people. And on the low side, they're, you know, they can be kind of shifty and kind of like, you know, watch out. It's like those, you know, that's the times when it's like, you know, just be careful of your pocketbook this year. Make sure you always have a good grip on your backpack and your wallet, okay? The displacement card, now you've got that Ace of Hearts, again, is your displacement card. And that can be, again, that's a place kind of maybe a little bit challenging. So it's like, in some ways this year, you know, you're kind of being challenged as you're looking for, you know, that new love, whether it's, you know, like I say, again, it can be a new love as a person or it can be, you know, doing something that you love, you know, for the next, you know, like you say, think for the next 47 years, doing something you love for the next 47 years, okay? So hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does, and I thank you so much, and I'm glad that I called in, and hopefully I'll get back on the road to healthier. Hopefully.
Okay, all righty.
All right, thank you so much, Kelly.
You betcha. You know, and the other thing is, even with health, it's like one thing I'm going to say is, you know, there's some very inspirational, you know, obviously there's a lot of inspirational things out there. There's one section, I'll say it's in Greg Braden's book, The Isaiah Effect. And he talks about a medicineless miracle. And it's like, I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's like, I will make you go look that up because he wrote that book. It was published in the year 2000, so it's 14 years old. Most libraries would have it. So I would just say, go check that out if you haven't read it. You know, read through it, and then you'll find it because it's a big subheading under what the medicineless miracle is, and it's very, very amazing.
What is it called? What is the book called?
Greg Braden is G-R-E-G-G, and Braden is B-R-A-D-E, and it's called, the name of the book is The Isaiah Effect, like the book Isaiah in the Bible, The Isaiah Effect.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, if you have never read that, make some time to read that because it is just phenomenal. It is just, it's one of his earlier works, and it's just amazing. I love it.
Yeah, someone had recommended Carolyn Macy. Macy, The Reason Why People Don't Heal. So I saw one of her lectures on YouTube, so she's got multitudes,
cool.
So I'm going to be doing that, you know, as well. So, yeah, I'll definitely look up that book.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other one that you write, that you might take a look at, too, is, because this one, and I can't remember which one, it's a trilogy, and it's, and again, they're like, you know, older published, but it's like, the author is Kyriakos C. Markides, M-A-R-K-I-D-E-S is the guy's last name, and Kyriakos, I think, is like Greek, it's like K-Y-R-I-C-O-S, I think, but the book is called, it's a really long title, it's called The Magus of Strovolos, M-A-G-U-S, The Magus of Strovolos, sounds like, I'm not sure I'm going to spell it right, but it's like S-T-R-O-V-O-L-O-U-S or something like that. If you get close on Google, it'll pick it up. But it's The Magus of Strovolos, The Extraordinary World of a Spiritual Healer. That's the first book, and it is. This guy is absolutely phenomenal. He's an old, you know, Greek that he worked for the post office for years, but, you know, that was his public life. But his spiritual life was totally amazing. And the guy wrote two other books in the trilogy. One was Homage to the Sun, H-O-M-A-G-E, Homage to the Sun, and the third one was Fire in the Heart, and I've got 90 seconds, oh my goodness. But look those up, too, because in some of those, he gives, like, meditations, and it's like, you know, he gives examples of things that, you know, healing, spontaneous healings, you know, that kind of stuff, or things that you can actively do for healings, but he also gives the meditations and some of the stuff with them, you know, the how-tos of how to practice, and it's really... I'll just say it's really good reading. It was some of the stuff that I read early on before I ever got into Reiki or anything else, and the guy is just, it'll blow your socks off as well. And, of course, the other one you know about, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And I believe it's that Michael Beckwith. And it's like, I know he was one of the presenters on The Secret. He talked about, you know, he says, I have seen miracles happen, you know, like you know, kidneys regenerated, you know, eyes regenerated, this kind of stuff. And that, that guy that wrecked his plane, that Marvin, I want to say Marvin Goodman, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in there also. And he just has, you know, I mean, you know, that guy was on, like, you know, he's crushed his spine and his diaphragm. It's like, and they put him on, like, you know, a respirator and told him he was just going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. And he said, no, I'm not. It took him 8 months, but he walked out of the hospital. And they do that recreation. And it's like, that is so worth watching because anything is possible. It absolutely is. You know, just remember, with God, all things are possible. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank God it's nothing, you know, as serious as that. You know, I've been dealing with I had a botched surgery on the vascular vein, and the wound won't heal from my shin. It warmed up. I got cellulitis on it, and then my immune system fighting the cellulitis. A week later after that, 2 weeks, the cellulitis is gone, and I wind up, I thought my gallbladder was affected. I wound up in the ER. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, and it wound up, I had full-blown shingles. So I've been dealing with the shingles virus. So I'm in a bad cycle.
I can sympathize with that. Wow.
Yeah, so I can't really swim. So what I'm doing is, after I saw Carolyn Macy's video, you know, it deals with, like, wound allergy, et cetera, et cetera, and it's very interesting. She's a very good speaker that I'm going to try and raise my vibration, not focus on being sick, and try and change my attitude that, what I can do, what I can't. Right, you know, just focus on what I can do, not what I can't. Kind of like
right,
that.
Exactly.
And that self is very healing, you know. The positive energy.
You know, and what I will say, if you are able to call in, if you're able to call in tomorrow, you know, please do, because Laura Perratt, I don't know if you've ever heard her before, but she's like an angel, what they call an angel speak healer. She does stuff, you know, I mean, she'll take whatever your issue is, and she'll, you know, she'll kind of put it out there, I'll say globally, so that anybody who listens to it in archives, you know, gets the benefit of it. So if you can call in, I know that she will do, you know, like a healing with you, and it's like she resets the vibrations and stuff, but she can also tell you some things that will help, you know, physiological things that will help in addition to the energy. So if you can at all call in tomorrow, please do, because she is just absolutely amazing and wonderful. Like,
Kelly, is it the
help,
same,
you know,
number? Is it? Do you know what time it'll be on tomorrow? Okay, and ask two people.
Same time, same bad station. It's like, yes, it's 347-838-8864, and then it's from 1 to 3 Eastern time. Yep.
1 to 3.
Same time. And she'll be on for 2 hours.
Oh, so cool. And thank you so much for taking my call. And hopefully I will get to speak with Laura tomorrow.
All righty.
That will
sounds
be great.
Good. Be
thank you
great.
So much. God bless
yes,
you, Kel.
All righty. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. You betcha. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Okay. And caller 857, you didn't have your hand up, but I figured I'd just check real quick before we signed off here and see if you had a question or a comment
it.
Or anything more.
I actually had a question.
Okay.
I recently started a new job, and there's a colleague who started today. I started a week ago. And it's just some really funny, funky energy, and I want to know, like, is she trying to cut my throat? What's going on?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like, she just got here, and then I'm like, okay, now it's time to pull back. That's how I feel.
Okay. Let's see. You know what? Well, what I'm going to do here really quick is if I can just get, like, you know, your month and day and your current year, I'm just going to kind of look up and see, you know, what the card layout is for you this year. And see if that's got any insight there. 1/30. Okay. January 78. Okay. Let's see how many are 78. 88, 98, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay. So 35 this year. Okay, and January 30th, 36, okay, wait a minute, 78, 88, 98, 36. Right, okay. I can't do math without my calculator. Doggone. Okay, so January 30th, that is, you're also, oh, man, this is amazing. You're also a 10 of clubs, like our other caller there. It's a 10 of clubs day. And you've got the 10 of spades as your planetary ruler. So let's look at 10 of clubs. Again, gee, I should have just stayed on the same page here. And see what you got going here. Because, yeah, I do. I pretty much strictly, yes, pretty much strictly do cards. Okay, 36 for you, 36 for you. You've got, okay, you've got a lot of power going for you this year. You've got an eight of diamonds as your long range, which is like, you know, you've got power, and you've got power in finances. And where you're at right now with that January birthday, let's see here, just a second. Man, I'm just gonna kind of run through this because the way these are, it's a like a numerical system. And once I give you this, it's like it's the same every year. The Mercury time for you, of course, starts, you know, on your birthday. Your Venus time frame starts March 23rd, and it goes until about the middle of May. The Mars time frame starts May 14th, and goes until July 4th. Oh, so you just got into your Jupiter time frame, which is started July 5th, and that's going to go until August 25th. Your Saturn time frame starts August 26th, goes into October. Uranus starts October 17th, goes into December, and then Neptune starts December 12th and goes to your next birthday. So right now you are just in your Jupiter time, which is actually, that's your blessed time of the year here. What is going on with this? You have got, you've got double sevens. Let me look and see what your Pluto and result. You've got a King of Diamonds as your Pluto card, which is like your challenge. And the King of Diamonds is called the Businessman's card. So, you know, in some way this year you're kind of being challenged possibly to be, I mean, if you've never thought about, you know, going into business for yourself, this might be, you know, kind of your challenge is like, you know, it's really hard to be an entrepreneur. I mean, it's really hard to be in business for yourself, you know, because there's a lot more that goes into it. But I am going to say, I think you're strong enough, and it's like you've got a really, you know, you've got a strong card, and it's like, you know, your life path and everything else, that if you wanted to be in business for yourself, and, you know, that way you wouldn't have to be contending with, you know, with other employees, you know, peers, with people who are coming in who are peers as employees coming in, it's like you would be the boss, you know, so you wouldn't have to.
That is definitely something that I am working towards. I just kind of took this job to help me make the money to get there.
Make the money to do it. Okay, there you go. There you go. So you step in.
Right.
And it's like, and your result card is the four of clubs. So it's like, it's going to be, you know, you're going to have that stability. The result is going to be the stability. Now, it's in bar about, it's about learning and knowledge, but it's also about communication. So somehow, you know, in this long-term range this year, let me see what it's got in specific, because a lot of times they have, like, what's called, oh, shoot, the affirmations. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. And it's like the things, you know, you kind of write these down and put, you know, your keywords for the year. It's not long as it's a result. Okay. You are. You're achieving strength and satisfaction in your mind. You're going to make important and necessary changes to achieve your goals, okay? And you're going to be successful. You might desire more knowledge or simply more peace of mind. At times, other people see you sometimes as stubborn and narrow-minded in the pursuit of what you're doing, but keep your goals in sight and realize that the focus, determination, and clarity of purpose is what builds your strength of mind, and that's fine. And then let's see, looking at that. Pluto. Now it does say it's like, yeah, this is, it's not, I'm going to say it's, your Pluto's card is not a challenging card. It's, you know, it's a very supportive card. But the affirmation with that is, I achieve stability and satisfaction in my mind and my life this year. So it's like, if you're, you know, if you're going to put write something down, you know, on the 3x5 index card and hang it on the bathroom mirror, that would be the phrase. It's like, I achieve stability and satisfaction in my mind and my life this year, because that's what's going on. That's what you're working towards. Okay, and where you're at, you've got this Jupiter. And Jupiter, you've got two sevens. I'm like sitting here going, this is a good poker hand. You've got a seven of spades, and you've got a seven of diamonds. Now, the seven of diamonds, interestingly enough, in the Jupiter time frame, there's an indication there that you could have a great deal of money as long as, you know, this is the whole thing is like, don't worry about it. I mean, it's, let me rephrase that. It's, you want to really examine your relationship with money when you're looking, you know, when you look in the mirror with yourself and go, how do I really feel about it? Do I feel prosperous? Do I feel needy? Do I feel like, you know, God is going to provide me, you know, with what I need, you know, or do I feel like I'm always shortchanged? You know, it's like, it's really that personal, you know, examination of how am I feeling? Because if you are truly feeling prosperous, and if you are, you know, if you know that right down to the core of your being, it's like this placement with this card can bring you a lot of money, which would be really awesome to launch your business, which would be great. That seven of spades. Now, there's that might, you know, again, it's one of the faith cards. All the sevens are about, you know, having faith with stuff. That's with your career and with your job and also with your health. So it's like, but these are, you know, because it's in the blessed time in Jupiter, what's going on right now, you've got a lot of blessings happening right now. So it's like, but it's just having the, you know, having the faith, having that positive mindset is what I'll put that way. Because if you start to think negative, that's when you shoot yourself in the foot with your own thoughts. So, you know, the challenge there is really keep your focus, you know, hit your wagon to the star. You know, you've heard that one. It's like hit your wagon to the star, because even if the wheel comes off, you're in the neighborhood, okay? So set your goals high. Set your sights high. And it's like you'll have some really excellent things occur. And it's like they're always the strongest in the time period that it's for, but it also says, you know, there's this thing that says, you know, and it's also like a watercolor wash. It's also for the rest of the year. So it's like really stay focused positively on where you're going and what you want to do. And it's like, and don't worry about, you know, the stuff along the way, because it'll just, you know, stuff will fall along the way. Don't take so much time to focus on whatever, you know, whatever this other person is doing. They're going to do their thing. Don't worry about it. All I can say is just, you know, put your happy face on, treat them nicely, smile, be courteous, be professional, be polite. You know, kill them with kindness. My mom used to say, oh, my goodness, that was funny. But, yeah, you know, just really, you know, put, you know, project love to her. That's, you know, that's all I can say. Maggie did, it was on one of Bonnie's shows in Archives. It was, Maggie came on with, she did tree readings, but she also was talking about the pranic tube. And it's like, you know, if you ever want to do, you know, something with that, I don't know if you meditate or anything like that, but if you do, it's like it's a really good exercise to learn, because it really puts you in a good place and space, and it's like it would be excellent for doing this. The Saturn time frame, you've got a Jack of Spades that's very creative, again, with your, with, you know, health, but also with career and jobs, that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of creativity coming along in Saturn. And then along with that is the Ace of Clubs in Saturn. So Ace is, you know, starting new things. But there's also in Saturn involves a lot of work. And it's like, and when you get, I'll say, when you get one of the work cards in Saturn, you're really going to work. think of tilling your garden with the hand hoe on your knees. You know, you don't get to use the rototiller. It's that kind of work. It's like you're going to be out there working like a dog, okay? Thank God that only lasts for 52 days. You know, it's like that. But it's really going to be a lot of work at the time. And it's like, and, you know, be prepared for that. It's like, don't give up on it. It's like, just work through it, because it's you're coming into a time, you know, you'll come in after the Jupiter time, you'll go, oh, my God, what did I get into? But it's like, it's okay, you know, put your life vest on and keep afloat and just keep working with it. After the Saturn time, you get to the Uranian time. And, again, you've got this. You've got a Three of Hearts, a lot of creativity with something you lost. And you've also got the Ten of Spades. So it's like you're going to have, you know, tens is usually like, you know, the people that surround us. It's like, you know, whether it's ten friends. In this case, the placement of ten, it's in the spades. So it's, you know, a power of ten with, you know, with your work, with your health, with your job, with your career. So somehow or other, there will be, you know, ten people very supportive of what you're doing with that job, with that career, you know, with doing your own thing, with, you know, opening your own stuff. And then you continue that ten of spades into the Neptune time. And that's, Neptune is about, you know, your hopes, your dreams, the things that you, you know, you want to do and forward focus on. So it's like, you know, and Neptune is also about, you know, can be about fantasy and illusion, but it's like in the better sense of it, it's like, you know, write your dreams down so they become goals, so you see them. So it's like, and those, you know, that's, it's a very, very strong card to end up on for the year. So it's like, I would say, yeah, if you're, you know, if you're on a path towards, you know, getting in line for your own business and that kind of stuff, go for that. And it's like, this job will give you the stepping stone to achieve what you want to. And it's like, and it might be, you might have some stuff come through in some very unusual ways.
Okay.
That's what I got for you today. And I will say, you know, do call back when Bonnie's on or Susan. Susan does the Akashic life reading, record reading, that kind of stuff. And Susan's usually, I'll say she's usually on Mondays and Tuesdays. Let's see, Ron, Wednesday. Next week, I will say next week when Leslie Journey is on with us, she is a very phenomenal reader also. And she'll be on with us next Thursday. It's like, and Bonnie's shows, I love it. It's like they're always the same bat time, same bat station. 1 o'clock Eastern time, it usually runs 1 to 3. Same number you called in today. But Leslie has a gift where she, a lot of times, hers is unusual because a lot of times she gets dates. She gets, you know, like time frames in a way that the rest of us don't. So it's like that's kind of her speciality. So, you know, by all means, you know, call in and talk to some more of the folks that are here and, you know, get some other, you know, windows. So I look at it like a gemstone. It's like get some other views of the facets of what's going on because, you know, that's, like I say, that's what I got for you today. And, you know, and as you go along, things that you do and choices you make, because we always have free will in this, it's like, will sometimes alter your outcomes or change a direction. You know, it's like maybe you were going to, you know, head down the path, but all of a sudden, you know, you thought, oh, wow, there's the bridge outside. I don't think I'll go down that road. It's like, I think I'll, you know, either make a right-hand turn or left-hand turn and go where, you know, there's not so much construction. You know what I mean? So, you know, things that you do will alter the course of your life, you know. So it's like, yeah, there's always that marvelous free will that we have out there. So do call back in and see what some of our other readers have to say for you.
Thank you.
And I hope it helped. You're welcome.
It was helpful.
Hope
thank you.
Hope this was help. All righty. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay. Bye. All righty. And everybody, so we will see you. All of our thank you again to all of our chatters today, and all of our listeners, all of our callers, all of the folks who listen in archives. We appreciate all you guys, and join us again. Like I say, tomorrow we have Laura Peratt on. She is an amazing lady. That is our angel speak healer, and she does stuff. You know, I'll say in the looks at stuff globally. So, you know, not only do people get the benefit of her, you know, with live on air, but, you know, when you go back and you listen to some of her archive shows, she picks different, I shouldn't say topics, but it's like it's with our callers. And she does it in such a way that it benefits everybody who has, like, an issue. Like, I know the gal that was having some trouble with the skin and that kind of stuff. So it's like highly likely we're going to see her on tomorrow. And so we'll have, you know, one of those. And some of our earlier ones, Laura had one, a really good one, with grief, with the heart, you know, that kind of stuff, and releasing grief. It's like, you know, she's usually on with us on, look for her, it's on a Thursday. One Thursday a month she's on with us. I think it's the second Thursday of every month she's been on with us. And this will be about time 4 or 5 now that she's been on with us. So amazing, amazing lady. She's also on Facebook. Most of the people that we have Facebook accounts or something. Ron does too. A lot of people have web pages, and it's like usually we'll announce the web pages or we try to get those posted in the descriptions. And in the meantime, everybody have an awesome, awesome day, and we will see you tomorrow.